We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Well, that grass isn't going to cut itself. I'll be outside.
Wait, you're mowing the lawn in that?
What?
In your one-piece riding leathers?
Yeah.
Because you might fall off the push mower?
You're right. I should probably wear my helmet, too.
Not what I meant.
It's hard to be without your bike, so do something easy and protective with Progressive Motorcycle Insurance. With basic policies as low as $75 a year, you'll be back on the road in no time. Visit Progressive.com to quote today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
This is with Giancarlo Navas and Ryan Goins.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today we have Heat Twitter. Well, not Heat Twitter president. I thought Alpha's not on today. I've just been so used to saying his name first. We have Heat Beat producer and co-founder, Mr. Brian Goins. How are you, sir?
How are you doing?
Well, today, I'm off my game. It's Tuesday. It's been a long day. We have Finals. Isaac, Harry, Harrison, Citron. Like, I'm shook now. I don't even know who's who.
Yeah. I'm here.
Hi, Harry.
We miss you, Alf.
Yeah, we miss you, Alf. And we have Israel Gutierrez on with us today to start the show. How are you, sir? Thank you for coming on the program.
What's up, fellas? I'm doing great. Thanks.
Good to hear from you. We also have Barry Jackson coming up later. So we have two guests today. Look at that. We're moving up in the world. Look at that. We have Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald. About to say Palm Beach Post because I am so shook. Today was a great day for Miami Sports Radio because – a lot of content was produced for us today in the form of a Dion Waiters Players Tribune story. And, Brian, who was the writer? Wright Thompson?
Yeah, Wright Thompson.
Of ESPN, did his Pat Riley manifesto. Izzy, which do you want to talk about first?
Let's start with Dion Waiters.
Okay, that was like one of the – Dion Waiters has seen things. And, like, we're joking and we've made Dion Waiters into a meme – but like Dion has seen things. Izzy, like, what was the part of the story that stuck out to you the most?
You know, just the approach, first of all, like the way he told the story was fantastic. Basically talking about, you know, Pat Riley and the OG and how he went into his office. And this is the story I told. And I mean, it's really interesting to see a guy sort of come into his own and then hear the story and sort of match, you know, the effort put in or match the reaction to people before and after, you know. And Dion, for, you know, I guess the best part about it was the feeling that he must feel when, you know, people sort of realize that he's a really good player and all the jokes and all the gifts and everything else is, you know, they're gone by the wayside. It's almost like if JaVale McGee made an all-star team, right, since he got mocked for so long. And then all of a sudden, he's really, really good. But right now, Dion Waiters is sort of preening a little bit. and that article showed some of it, and it was great. Like, it was great, and he deserves to, because, you know, like you said, he's been through some shit.
Write that down, Brian. First one of the day. Early on. The part Izzy and Harrison, like, he's talking about he's just numb to people around him getting shot. Like, to me,
yeah.
And I think that all of us who have, like, any sort of understanding, like, know that shouldn't surprise us, right? Because poverty is awful, and there are some places in this country that's the life that people live. And even though that we can understand that that's something that happens, when you, like, somebody say it like that in the way that he told it, it's still, like, I had to read it twice. He's like, my mom's been shot, my dad's been shot, his best friend was killed, and it's like,
oh yeah,
like, and he says, when I got the call and they say, I cannot pronounce his name, but your friend's been shot, he's like, I already knew what the result was, because that's the life he's lived.
You don't have to ask if he's dead, because you already know. That's pretty crazy. You know, and yeah, that was a pretty heartbreaking story that he told.
Rameek,
you know, about,
I hope I'm saying his name right. Rameek. I don't want him to go nameless.
Right. And so, yeah, that part of the story was fantastic too. And just, you know, how close he was to a guy. And I thought the best part of it was how they became friends, is that, you know, he's dominating one side of the city playground and his friend's dominating the other side. And then they get that little, you know, I don't want to call it a best of three, if you will, but they've been back to back, you know, matchups in the playground. And then all of a sudden they become the closest friends you could be. So, and then anytime you get to see more of these guys, more of their background and more of just their true selves, it's always eye-opening, and it's always interesting. And to be honest, I mean, hopefully he stays on the path where he's, you know, a respectable / very good NBA player, so we get to see all this sort of really fulfillment come out from him, because man, he deserves something, right?
Harry?
Yeah, no, I mean, I really, it was a kind of an eye-opening article for me, and when I was reading it, I was kind of thinking, like, you know, the fans get disappointed when these guys get hurt and they can't play, but for a guy who used basketball to, like, elevate himself and get out of that kind of rough circle, it's just interesting to think, like, when he's sitting at home and, you know, he can't play because he's hurt, like, that must be absolutely devastating, because, you know, he had this rough life, he had a rough start to his career, and he finally kind of found himself here in Miami, and then not being able to play all the time must have been pretty rough for Deion this season.
Like,
yeah, that was another one of the parts that was interesting, just to kind of get his perspective on that. But even, you know, the stuff about him and Kevin Durant and him, you know, asking him to win our last game, it was all really good. It was all really, really good. And I guess it also kind of, you know, I was thinking about back when, you know, they were in Cleveland, Kyrie and Deion Waiters, and all you ever heard about both those guys was just terrible things. Oh, this guy can't be a leader. Oh, this guy's going to be a cancer. And now look at Kyrie Irving, the champion, and one of the best point guards in the league. And Deion Waiters is finally getting his, at least starting to. And we'll see what happens next year, wherever he is, what have you. But, yeah, it's just we paint guys a certain way early on in their careers, and it's hard to shake that label, and hopefully Deion can do so.
You know, Izzy, and you say that, and when I was reading it, the only thing I can think of what Deion Waiters is, and I think still, even though he had a good season, he is still a punchline. And I think if you ask a lot of casual fans, they'll call him a loser, when he is anything but a loser. Like,
that's a great point.
He's not a punchline. He's not a loser. Look where he came from. Look at everything,
right?
Everything that he had to live through to maintain any sort of mental stability after going through that. Your mother shot, your best friend killed because you got an opportunity because you were a little taller, that you got to go to play basketball in boarding school. Like,
yep.
I would imagine that there's survivor's remorse. Like, there's just so, like, he's anything but a punchline. He's just, like, we've just memed him. And it's crazy. Yeah. It humanizes him in this odd way.
And not only that, but it kind of, you know, the part that he talks about where he hears everybody saying he has irrational confidence and everything else. And he says, of course I do. How else would I have made it if I didn't think, you know, if I'm playing in these streets acting as if I'm somewhat intimidated at all, or if I don't think I'm the best out there. And imagine having to continuously tell that to yourself while the rest of the country is mocking you. Like, while you see, Now, fortunately, like you said, he's not a big internet guy, so he probably doesn't see it as much as everybody else does, but he knows of it, and yeah, so imagine that, like, test of your strength, you know, for whatever, 4 or 5 straight years while he's in the league as a 19, 20, 21-year-old, like, those are all things to overcome, and, you know, you could beat yourself up over it, or you could just, you know, sort of bathe in the money. If it's just a few million dollars here and there, you can just be happy with that. And, you know, move on. But, you know, when you get these stories like this and you see the type of work that's put into it and the type of things that, you know, mentally, it's really tough to overcome tragedy, man. Even just, like, personal issues at home and everything else and big life changes. And that's all tough to do when you're doing it at 19, 20, 21. And then, like, he's in his mid-20s and only now sort of relishing in his hard, you know, or rather is now sort of getting – the payback from all the hard work, then yeah, it just goes to show you how long he sort of fought this fight.
I mean, could you imagine reaching the mountaintop without his friend, without, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
Like I can't, like, he gets that, and that contextualizes kind of the contract situation. Like, look where he came from. How could you expect, after you read that, how could you expect someone to take less money for winning? Like, that kind of puts into perspective what these guys are playing for sometimes, that knowing where the hell they came from, huh?
I see it a little differently. I say, if you've come this far after all these attempts, well, I say all these, like, I mean, OKC, Cleveland, what have you, and these years of being mocked, then you recognize it's not about the money, and you recognize that you kind of have to take advantage of the situation that you're in and make it as good a situation as possible, or continue to make it as good a situation as possible. So I think, you know, you can look at it both ways. I don't think he's the guy that's going to say, okay, let me go get paid and make that the destination, because he still wants to be really, really, really good. He wants to be Kevin Durant.
My takeaway was he's probably going to stay. And Harrison, I'm pretty sure you're going to say the same thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I thought kind of what Izzy was saying was where he was, when he's sitting with Pat Riley and Riley's saying, like, we're going to get you in world-class shape. And Deion's sitting there like, wait, I'm an NBA player. I'm in good shape. But not realizing, like, what that means being in Miami and just, like, what – you know, and he only had, what, 50 games here. So, you know, what he did in that short time, like, Miami can really be a launching pad for Deion. He obviously has some flaws to his games, but there are things that he can work on here. And, yeah, I think he's going to stay. I'm not exactly sure what the contract's going to look like this offseason, but – I think Deion's ready to stay. It seems like he's pretty happy in Miami. My favorite part of the article was that his 3-year-old son has a girlfriend in Miami now. So I mean,
South Beach Fever.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it is important that your family's happy where you are. So, I think it'll be worked out. But it was just I really enjoyed the article, and I like it from the player's perspective. The Players Tribune is doing a good job, obviously, in that way.
Is that ghostwritten? Do you know?
I have no idea. I'm going to go ahead and guess he had some help with the structure of
it. It's obviously copy-edited, but I don't know.
Right. But with the storytelling part of it, no, it feels like it was him, but I'm sure it was, you know, everything's heavily edited if you've never written before.
All right, we have so much to get through. Right, moving on to Pat Riley. We are leaving. We are taking the exit out of the Deion Waiters story, and I'm sure we'll come back to that with Barry. Now we're going to the Pat Riley story, which I found a different kind of sad, particularly when Riley talked about the relationship with his father and how he just made stuff up to build his dad into the man he wasn't. Like, what? Like, my God.
You know what's funny is, like, I've had this conversation with friends before, rather recently, and, you know, it's about this whole idea of having this sort of voice as your conscience, right? Like, who do you hear when you are asking advice of a random, you know, of anything, of just the world, right? Like, whose voice is in your head? And a lot of guys in particular have their dad's voices in their head because they've had good dads, good experiences growing up, and frankly, whether good or bad, like, that's where you heard most of your advice from, was from your father, and therefore, like, you don't, yeah, it's kind of where you go, it's your default place. And, like, I don't have that personally. Like, I, you know,
well, mine is my producer.
Didn't really have a whole lot of great advice for me over the years coming up. And so I don't have that. And I'm very jealous of people who do have that. And it feels like almost that Pat Riley was creating what he thought should be, you know, the right type of father figure in his life, even though he already knew, you know, that wasn't the case. But might as well just build that narrative, whether it's for yourself or whether it's for the other people that are listening to you.
What's
and
poetic?
It's sad, like you said, in a way, but it's also, you know, it also humanizes Pat in a way that it says, all right, well, you think of him as his godfather, this flawless guy who can convince anybody of anything. Well, he kind of spent a portion of his life convincing himself that his dad was somebody that he wasn't. And so, yeah, it's that part. It was touching, but a lot of this was, and it's just, it's funny how you can relate to different things, and he's going through different a phase in his life right now where it's like, it's so hard for him to break free. It's so hard. Like that idea, you know, where he's like, his wife, he'll say he's fine. And his wife will say, like, you can tell yourself as often as you want that you're okay. Like whether you're going through a death in the family, a divorce, you know, something severe that's changing in your life, you can tell yourself you're fine. But you're not fine until you're fine. And you can read that whole story and tell that everybody listening to Pat knows he's not fine.
He's broken.
Knows he hasn't let go of his competitive virus that he has. And yeah, and so it's funny to see him sort of, it's going through stages. And I bet you if Ray Compton writes this story, you know, 5 years from now, we'll see a guy in Pat Riley who's like maybe 60-70% toward that place that he wants to be. But right now, just reading that, you're like, oh, he's just starting. Like this separation thing, and the last line is fantastic, where he basically said, hang on, I'm going to read this because this is too good of a line to just paraphrase. He said,
take your time.
From Pat Riley. No, it's fine. I've got it right here. I'm just trying to see where to start.
No, fine.
It says, sitting on a stool, Riley tells a story about the Native American chief. How do you pronounce it? Is that Tecumseh?
Izzy, you're being Westbrook right now. You're being Westbrook, and you're turning the ball over.
Yeah, but that's okay. That's okay, because I'm MVP. And about Red Horse, who broke his leg in the home stretch and got a bullet in the head instead of a garland of roses. Finished with this martini, Riley orders one more before heading home to dinner, planning his goodbye speech to this team he's grown to love. The simplicity of tomorrow clarifies him. He smiles. In the late afternoon happy hour glow, he sees himself clearly, not as he wants to be, but as he is. No roses for him, just a long stretch of track and a bullet with his name on it, one day when he can't run anymore. Quote, you know the greatest lie in the world, he says, starting to laugh? Pat's retiring to Malibu. Like, he's not ready to leave this anytime soon, even though he's in his 70s, which is crazy.
Izzy,
your ball.
If Westbrook had done the equivalent of, you talked for like 5 straight minutes. If Westbrook did the same thing, because like you were doing amazing, right? You were hitting some threes. You got a steal. You got a fast break layup. You had brought the show in. We're going great. And then you start fumbling the ball. You turn it over. You dribble it off your foot. How would you? Well,
yeah, it was equivalent.
I would say I stole it back. And hit
you got it, though. You got it.
Layup.
You were able to inbound it without a 5-second violation. So we go.
Whatever, I got the line out.
we made it. Harry, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, it was a really long article. I read the whole thing.
What was
long
of the article or Izzy's soliloquy?
Oh, that was a good line, and it's just interesting because the article is saying that Riley had thought about retiring after the Heat won back to back, but I have no idea how you would have walked away at that time. You know, it's always, in hindsight, it seems fine. Oh yeah, sure, you go out on top of the world, but that's really hard to do for these people that are like uber competitive. And I thought the thing that was interesting was I remember the part where Riley he got really nervous before he played the championship game against Texas Western back when he was in college, and he had his high school coach like come and help him out because he had sores on his feet. Yeah,
tell me the coach is doing that today. You want to talk about these players?
Ty Lue, because he has to.
Tell me the coach is rubbing his college players' feet overnight or soaking his feet overnight. All right, that's next level stuff right there.
Yeah, that's
clearly
dedication.
Brad Stevens. I mean,
Brad Stevens though.
No. Do you want to make fun of Brad Stevens, Izzy? Are you into making fun of Brad Stevens? Do you want to make fun of
Brad Stevens? Brad no, Brad Stevens is a good dude. I like him a lot.
Oh, that's right. You're corporate now. You're not, see, if you were as Miami as you used to be, you'd be down for making fun of Brad Stevens.
Oh, that hurts too, though. Ouch.
What is he, 3-10 or 4? What is he now, 4-10?
Is he 4? Yeah, 4-10. It was 2-10, they went 2-0.
Ever since we published our pod.
Yeah, ever since we made fun of Brad Stevens'
reason.
Record.
There's a reason. Those are all explainable losses, most
jeez,
of them.
Oh, my God. Izzy, I know you got to run. Thank you for being on. Thank you for making some time for us. We appreciate it.
No problem. I can help you another 5 minutes on Pat Riley if you want. Let me just start here. No, I'm kidding.
you want to read the entire story for the rest of the pod if you have time?
Well, for those who get fatigued and don't want to read it all the way through to the end, now you know what the last graph or two look like, okay, so, or sound is. Like. You don't have to finish, but you're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much, man.
All right, guys.
Hey, thank you, everybody. All
right. Have a good night.
Okay. So, okay. You know what? I'm so thankful for Wright Thompson and for Dion Waiters for writing that. That was very good of them.
On the same day?
Yeah, on the same day. Man, Izzy, listen, I love Izzy. Izzy's a friend of the show. I think Izzy's brilliant. Izzy rambled.
I think it's fine. I think you guys... I know you like short, concise things. Sometimes it's okay. If he's on a roll, let him
go.
No,
he was on a roll, dude. You know what it reminded me of? When we had Ethan on, when Ethan just hijacked the show. Do you remember?
Yeah,
dude,
of course.
It was like free agency time, and Ethan had just done a radio show. Ethan was driving from the radio studio to his house, and then he just came on the show and just completely dominated.
I have no idea how he did that interview.
Who? Is Ethan?
Ethan,
I don't even know if those tapes were recycled. Like Bluetooth. Jesus, it was great.
I think he was probably just in radio mode, you know, and he didn't turn it off because he knew he was coming on the pod. So, you know, the moment he hung up the phone, he was just like, "All right, I'm good. I can like go home now." But yeah, when you're in the zone, you just go.
Just go, man. That's,
yeah, Izzy was in that rust zone. I mean, he turned the ball over a bunch, but you know, he's still there.
I love Izzy, man. I appreciate it. I don't want people to think that we're just ragging on him.
Yeah, and we shouldn't compare him to Russ because Izzy's so much better than Russ.
No, he's MVP though, as Izzy said. He's yeah, MVP. Harry, when is
Derrick Rose MVP?
Whoa! Say that to his face.
I would. I'm not afraid of Westbrook.
What time is Barry supposed to come on? 8:15?
I said 8:10, but we can do whatever. It doesn't really matter.
Okay, well you work on that. Actually, no. It will 8:10. We'll wait till 8:10. We have 10 more minutes.
You want me to just ask him at 8:10 if he's good?
Yeah, 8:10. Yeah, we'll wait.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
We're short staffed today, so you know it's just you, me, Harry. Brian, what was your favorite? We didn't ask you. What was your favorite part of the Dion interview?
My favorite part of the Dion interview was Google Me.
Google Me. We need to make that a meme, man. We need put that on a T-shirt. Let's go.
We will. Jack had a great idea. He said to get the pose of him making the game.
We can't let our competitors know what we're thinking, Brian.
Okay.
Can't let the competitor. Well, what about the Riley story? What was your favorite part of that?
I think the LeBron part, just how he brought the championship trophies with him.
Oh my God! In the LeBron
part, yeah,
when he talked about the volume was on during the World Cup game, the volume was on. He's like he had to ask LeBron to mute the television. I don't believe that's true. I cannot believe
Let's
that's true.
Let's reported that,
huh?
Levitard said that on his show.
I can't believe that, though, man.
I can. Dude,
that's just so blatantly bleep you that I can't believe that he did that. I can't.
That's what it was. What about the Wade story where Wade's agent is saying, like, no, we don't want to talk to Pat. We're going above his head. And then Wade's mad that he never heard from Pat. It's like... Yo, he was obviously there was some. He was respecting your wishes, and you obviously didn't articulate your wishes well to your agent. I'm just not sure what happened.
That whole like both those situations, it's so much he said, she said. But like, I look at the Dwayne thing. I can't help but think that's miscommunication, right? That Dwayne's agent took it upon himself to do that, and that was not really communicated to Dwayne. But I don't understand how grown adults. In the professional world, how this happens. Like, something is not adding up in that story.
No, I mean, listen, grown adults are just big kids. I mean, they make the same mistakes that we made when you were younger. So, I mean, just because they're older and supposedly wiser, it doesn't mean that they do everything right. I think, like when LeBron left, we all know that Riley was devastated. He's now said that a few times. It seems like he's kind of forgiven LeBron a little. Like he thought he was building a dynasty where he kind of understands that LeBron went back to, you know, if LeBron signed another long-term contract with the Heat, it would have taken him out of his prime. And if LeBron wants to go back to Cleveland and win in his prime, that's kind of that was the time to do it. But
he was right. He was right in leaving. I think we can say that, right?
Well, I think last year validated what he wanted to do, right? I mean, it's not. I think he could have won. I think he could win more in Miami. I think we could have built a better team around him. The Bosch thing is kind of, you know, is terrible, but. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting now because if you would have had Bosch on the books for 2 years, you would have been in a pretty similar situation. I mean you obviously still could have.
Kyrie Irving is really good, and Kevin Love is really good, and David Griffin has done. I know we make fun of them, but, I mean, he made the right choice. I don't think Miami can argue that he didn't. Like, clearly he made the right choice, and clearly he still – like incredibly great. Like this is one of his best seasons. He shot like 55%. He's incredible this year.
Well, I think you're asking two different things. Like, did he make the right basketball choice? I think you'd have to say definitely, like especially with Bosch happening. Like
we remember like when he said he left for basketball reasons, we were all like, no, you didn't.
No, but I'm saying that like, that makes sense now because of what happened to Bosch. I mean, if Bosch is healthy, you're talking about a completely different team. Listen, if Bosch is healthy last year, that Heat team probably challenges LeBron's team in the finals. Like, there's no guarantee that with a healthy Bosch, that Heat team wouldn't have beaten Toronto and given the Cavs a ton of trouble last season. So, you know, it's hard to say that it would have happened the same way. But with the Bosch situation, yeah, he made the right choice, and he made the right choice for himself because. That's what he wanted to do. Like, he wanted to win one for Cleveland, and like, his legacy is different now because in Miami he was hated and it looked like he joined up with his buddies to win. And now he went back home and won, even though he was with great players there too. So it just hurts Riley's
26-9-9 he averaged this year.
No, I'm not. Listen, I'm not. No, arguing
I know.
LeBron's
I know. We're not.
Greatness.
No, I know. We're not questioning how good he is, but it's just like Jesus.
I mean, I think it's crazy that he's basically like, you could argue he's still in some form of his prime, which is, I mean, your prime is not supposed to be, you know, 7 years or, I mean, 8 years. It's usually 4 or 5 years. It's not this extended greatness.
His prime has been since 2004. I mean, he averaged 27-7-7.
Yeah, but I like to think that,
47% shooting, like, come on.
I mean. Yeah, but Spo took him and maximized his game. Like, his years in Miami were his, like, just the most efficient years. And this year, he's finally gotten back to that type of efficiency. Because last year, he was having a lot of trouble shooting the three.
Did you know he played a career low minutes last season?
He played what?
Career low minutes per game. 35 minutes per game. I did not know that. I'm looking at his basketball reference page, and that surprises me. He played a
career low. Well, this year reminds me of... the 2014 Heat year where like he was doing everything and everyone else got old around him, and they've still added some decent pieces, but I mean, they're going to have trouble, you know, even if they make it to the finals, they're going to have trouble against the Warriors. The interesting thing is, you know, if the Warriors win, if KD's gimpy, or if Steve Kerr's got a back injury, like, what does that say about that team? It's more the system, right? I mean, it's hard to say it's like amazing coaching or they really needed KD. They didn't need KD. They needed KD not on the Thunder.
That was a great meme.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, they didn't necessarily like obviously KD shooting threes over Harrison Barnes is a huge upgrade, but they don't necessarily need that. They just didn't. They needed KD not on the Thunder because they're just going to go right to the finals. That team is not going to have any. How many games are they going to lose before they get to the finals? Two?
I don't know. It depends. I think Utah could give them problems. Probably maybe Utah can win a game or two if Utah advances. I do think Houston and San Antonio will push them. I don't think it's such a foregone conclusion that they're just going to sweep everybody. Or even like
is San Antonio getting out of the Memphis series?
I hope so. I think so.
That's going to go 7.
That series is so fun. Oh, we haven't barely talked about Fizdale. Fizdale's. I'm so happy for him.
Yeah, that was a great rant, and it turned the whole series around.
But you know what sucks is that it apt like when the coach does the ref calling out. That was like, I know Mike Ryan was saying that on Levitar. That was like Vogel's move, and it always worked. Like, that's something that always works, and it annoys me. Or that Jeremy Lin video. Didn't the fans make a video where somebody made a video about Jeremy Lin no calls, and then Jeremy Lin was, you know, Michael Jordan against us with foul calls?
Mm-hmm.
I said us. I hate myself. Ugh. You guys have rubbed off on me.
You're welcome.
I never call the Heat us. I call them them. Yeah. They're them. Oh, my God. What is Russell Westbrook wearing? Jesus Christ. I don't know, man. He just came on, and it was some sort of top hat with the Jesus piece, his shirt all open. It was some sort of cloth that you'd look like you would find on a timeshare couch.
Well, I mean, the Jesus motif makes sense. He's probably going to be the sacrificial goat tonight, so.
Jesus piece. All right, Harrison, work on getting us Barry. Find out if Barry's ready for us. It's 8:10.
Yeah. I just sent him a message. Okay, so
you let us know I'm Barry. And Jesus, Westbrook, my God.
I had a question for you guys since we were talking about LeBron. Because did you guys read the excerpt from Brian Windhorst on his book?
No.
No. No.
Fair enough.
What was the excerpt?
Well, there were a couple nuggets in that his chapter where he talked about LeBron going back to Cleveland.
Of course, there'd be nuggets for Windhorst.
Jesus.
Awesome. Sorry. Okay.
But basically, the two questions I had is because I know they were talking about how GMs were assuming that LeBron would stay in Miami if they had won that last championship in his last year. So they three-peated. Do you think that's true? One. And then two, do you think he would have signed a one-year deal even if they didn't win that championship that year? Do you think he should have?
Do I think he should have signed? Just said he shouldn't. He should have gone to Cleveland. That was the right choice, I think, right? Like,
you don't think he should have signed just a one-year deal, see what would have happened with Raleigh reconstructing the roster?
No, because we saw really what was available, that free agency, right? And, like, Pau Gasol wasn't going to be a difference maker. And that Kevin Love trade in part happened because of Love's expiring contract and the fact that Wiggins was most valuable when he hadn't played a single NBA minute, right? So that kind of helped move the wheels to everything that happened, grease the wheels.
That's true. I mean, I always thought LeBron was going, like, when I started realizing that it wasn't going in our favor, I think it was an escape that LeBron had planned for a while, regardless of if they had three-peated or not.
You people and conspiracy theories.
No. I really think, like, two years in, when he was starting to say, like, yeah, you know, he was kind of saying he was thinking about going back to Cleveland maybe to end his career. You kind of thought, you know, you didn't think anything of it because we were in the middle of winning two championships. But it was always on his mind. And I don't know, Brian. I think he kind of lost a lot of faith in Wade at the end of 2014. I mean, they never talk about that because they're such good friends. But I mean, he left because he didn't trust Wade to stay healthy anymore. And the opportunity to go back home and win there was better than staying. And I mean, that was even before the Bosch.
John Harrison, so. You're absolutely right. He left because he's like, nah, dog, Kyrie,
yo, he looked at. I'm sure at the end of that game, he's looking at Wade in the locker room like ice in his old ass knees, and he's just thinking, man, I don't like. He's my best friend, but I don't think we're gonna win anymore. He's like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta go get some cupcakes in Cleveland.
Do we have a
remember the cupcake shop?
I do.
Broke the news. I don't know. He's not responding. If that's what you're asking.
Okay, yeah, I'm asking. We have misplaced Barry Jackson. Is Barry Jackson gonna sell us out for a third time?
He's just on 790.
I know.
Yeah, I don't think so. He told me at 6 it's good. We can just call.
Can I just call him? See what happens.
No, you have to. I don't want to do that.
Shoot our shot. He said 8:10.
I know, but
shoot our shot.
Text him. Text him, Harrison. Text him.
Text I don't want to do that.
Why not? No. You make fun That's of me for not wanting to text Doris Burke. Text Barry Jackson.
So you want me to send him a text? Like,
send him
ready?
A text. Say, hey, I'm trying to DM you. Are you ready to come on? This is so on-air producing. This is fun.
Well, we're going to cut it out, right?
No, we're not. Of course not. This is fun. This is insider information. for the listeners. Welcome DAS audience. I haven't welcomed our DAS audience today. I'm going to be doing that for like another week. You can find us at MIA Heatbeat on Twitter. You can find me at GNavas103. You can find my producer at By Brian Goins. And you can find Harrison at Hot Take Harry. So that's where you find us. You can also go to heatbeatmiami.com. We have not posted an article in a while, but we will have something this week, hopefully. And we will update it as the off season, as things go up. We break news sometimes. We write articles, analytics, all that stuff, columns. So check that out. Heatbeatmiami.com. Follow us at MIHeatbeat. Man, am I good infomercial or what?
You're so great.
I'm so good at that.
Yeah, we did not get enough credit for nailing the Deion Waiters injury.
We were so right, and he was rushing his ass back.
It was amazing. We had Heatbeat. We had
Manny Navarro
came out.
Chang, the puppet.
We tweeted it. We have to tell Barry.
Huh?
We tweeted the Manny post.
Oh, he's in on that too?
Yeah, he was in on it. Of course, he's a staff.
Yeah, no, they're the Illuminati.
We were so right on the Deion news that Deion was rushing back to
play.
We're
woke!
I'm surprised he didn't put us on his story.
Yeah, I know, he should have. Shout out to at MIHeatbeat. Follow them on Twitter, at MIHeatbeat.
Just 6-8 weeks. You could just put that anywhere in the story.
No, but honestly, you know what the most interesting... like we were talking about it earlier with Izzy, but it was just, it's so interesting that we want these really like humble superstars. Like that's what people expect.
No.
Oh, he's calling me right now. So should I answer the phone?
Okay,
and then
mute your mic, mute yourself. I'm going to do a show with Brian. Okay, hi Brian.
Hi.
Hi Brian. It's been a while since you and I have done a show together. We have not been on air together. Just us two in probably like 2 years.
Dude, we should like, we should just like do a throwback episode one day.
Do you want to bring back our old sec? Do you want to do Galassim Goes With Everything or Brian's Time to Shine?
Absolutely. Just read parts of Deion's story.
I want to find a way to bring that back. Like, we have to, I want to find a way to incorporate that music in a segment. Like, just for like the OG ass listeners. Like, you know, so like our British listener who's been with us since day one or whoever the hell else has been with us for that long. Yeah!
10-hour loop.
It goes with everything.
Okay. Brian, will you call him?
Okay, call. Yeah,
he's ready for like we got 15 minutes. Okay. So.
Dude, we should just have Barry on with a song in the background.
No,
don't do that.
Harrison has no idea what he's doing. All right, Brian's gonna call. Brian's gonna go back to being a producer.
Let me turn that down.
Kill the music. Okay, good job. Wow, you're competently producing today. I'm so proud of you.
It's gonna end up being poor in a second.
He's gonna end up messing up so bad. Like Brian's had like a stellar show. Honestly, it's been like one. You know, it's been his career.
Don't even say it, man. Like he's got a perfect game going. Don't ruin it.
That's right. I can't talk about it. I cannot talk
You're
about
a jinx.
The, huh?
You're a jinx.
Watch, he's gonna hang up on Barry now. Mr. Barry Jackson.
I'm here.
How are you, sir?
Welcome.
Welcome to the
Good.
Program.
How are you?
You have been like our elusive guest.
Ha! Well, it's good to be on with
we
you.
We finally have you. This is Barry Jackson of the Palm Beach Post. Welcome to the program.
No, the Miami Herald.
I'm sorry. I'm so confused.
You did that.
I'm so
no.
bad. Why do I keep saying that? Miami Herald. Oh, my God.
Not good.
No, Anthony Chang has me confused because now, you know, it's that Chang guy.
Right.
Got to blame him. Ugh, it's all funny. His fault. Barry.
Yes.
We were joking earlier in the show, like, the two stories that dropped today are the best thing to happen for Miami radio all year because it was just a fountain of content for us to talk about. And
with the Marlins sale. You were talking strictly Heat.
I was talking strictly Heat.
Pat Riley at the end piece and the Deion Waiters Players Tribune, I presume.
Yes, both of those. And the Marlins piece, honestly.
Okay.
But, but I guess I wanted to ask you what you took away from the Deion piece in terms of his free agency because it seems... I look at it in two ways. I look at it as somebody who came from that kind of environment, that how in the world could you ask someone to turn down a payday knowing where they come from? But then my co-host Harrison and we had Israel Gutierrez on earlier saying how quite the opposite, that knowing where he came from, he would value the stability that this organization provides. And I'm curious as to what you may think.
Well, Deion told me back right around the time of the All-Star break that not only does he want to stay here, but he doesn't even want to go many days into free agency. He said he wants a quick answer, wants it resolved quickly, and wants to stay here. Now, all that being said, his agent, and he stuck with Rob Pelinka's agency, even though Pelinka left to run the Los Angeles Lakers, I'm sure his agency will encourage him to do what any agent would, which is be, you know, which would be to test the market, see what else is out there. And if there's a large disparity between an offer from another team and the Heat's offer, then, you know, there naturally would be a risk of him leaving. And I can say that even with the knowledge that all three of us know, which is that the Heat would like to keep him and that Deion would like to stay. But if the Heat's idea is an offer in the $11 million a year range and another team offers in the $18 million a year range, again, those are just hypothetical numbers, you know, then, you know, as much as Deion liked it here, he would have to consider the higher offer. So that's why I don't think any of us can say with certainty that he's going to be back. Does it seem more likely than not? Yes. But I would not say that it's anything higher than, you know, 60%, 65%, just because you never know what another team is going to offer.
Barry.
And
no, Harrison, go.
Sorry. And Barry, what were you thinking when, you know, in the after the season ended, they were talking to Deion? And I mean, Deion and JJ sounded like they definitely wanted to stay here, but JJ more was like, yeah, maybe, you know, we can sit in a room, we can talk about numbers, we can maybe work on bringing someone else in. Whereas when they asked Deion if he would maybe take less, he kind of gave you like, well, we'll have to see what happens. I mean, is it, you think he's someone who, if there is that big jump, then he's probably going to take that offer, or will he settle for less to stay where he's had his most successful season in Miami?
I could see him taking a bit less. I couldn't see him taking substantially less. I mean, how many players do you see taking substantially less beyond Haslam, right? We all know the Haslam story where Denver and Dallas offered a lot more 5 years ago. So I think, you know, it wouldn't be realistic to expect him to take $5, $6, $7 million a year less. But it was interesting that Riley set the stage for this by using the word fair. He said, we'll be fair with Deion and James. We hope that they're fair with us.
I think that's kind of telling. Barry, who values who more? Deion values the Heat more, or does the Heat value Deion more?
I think probably it's a mutual thing, because Deion has to know that the Heat has helped transform him into a pretty good NBA shooting guard. You know, I wouldn't say great yet. Some nights he was very good. Other nights he was pretty good. And I think he certainly values that. And he values that the Heat pushed him into becoming, as Riley would say, a world-class athlete. Now, from the Heat standpoint, they value him in the sense that the other options at shooting guard are pretty limited. I don't know that they're ready to commit to Josh Richardson as a starting two, even though he played well in that role in the final couple weeks of the season. And beyond that, the options are largely unappealing at shooting guard and free agency. You've got Tony Allen, obviously in the later stages of his career. J.J. Redick, same could be said for him. Kyle Korver, another guy, you know, on the back end of his career. Wade, with the postseason success so far for the Bulls, at least, you know, 2-2 series through four games, I don't know that he'd be inclined to opt out of $23 million. And even if he did, the Heat wouldn't offer him anything close to that. So I think the Heat realizes he's probably the best available option shooting guard, and they undoubtedly want to keep him. This all comes down to whether they can agree on an amount the Heat is comfortable with. I don't know what that amount will be, but it would be hard for me to conceive that the Heat's, you know, going to the $16-17 million a year range.
I feel like
with him,
Barry, and I can't remember a time that something like this has happened where you have two guys in Deion and James Johnson, and honestly, I don't think anybody has a remote idea of what they're going to get offered, partly because of the market. And usually when the Heat are trying to keep or sign guys, you have an idea. It's usually a mid-level guy, or you know that you're going to max them. Like Hassan, we all knew it was going to be a max when LeBron and Dwayne and Chris, like, and for anything, like, we all kind of always have an idea going in. But with Deion and JJ, it's like there's so much uncertainty that it's kind of new to me, at least.
Right. Right. I agree with that. Sure. And with James, you know, it's very easy to see someone potentially offering him $16 or $17 million a year, just because we saw that last year with Evan Turner, and James Johnson proved to be the better player this year. I would say the Heat would probably be looking at something, you know, north of $10 million for each, but not substantially more. And that's just my speculation. That's nothing that I've been told.
Do you think that they're hurt?
But I do know what?
Continue. I'm so sorry. Continue.
Yeah, no, I believe the Heat would obviously like to keep both. That's pretty clear to everyone. But I think they'd like to do it and still have the ability to have flexibility beyond that to add another player. And, you know, you're looking at $38 million in space, not counting Wayne Ellington's $6.4 million, which doesn't become guaranteed until the day after the moratorium ends. And so if you're able to somehow get Waiters and Johnson for a combined $24 million, which I think is underestimating what they'll get,
yeah,
then that leaves you with about $14 million to use on another free agent from what is generally a weak class. My sense is that Johnson and Waiters will end up consuming more of their cap space than that, than $24 million. I think they're going to end up consuming closer to $30 million. So if that's the case, then you've got $8 million left to either give to, you know, Ellington and Willie Reed, or a player from outside, you know, be it Rudy Gay if he opts out, and if he's willing to take a below market deal to play in Miami, which appeals to him.
Keep him away, Barry. Keep him away.
Oh, keep Rudy Gay away.
Please, no. We already have him.
Well,
listen,
Dion be a shooter.
Dion worked out, but they're not all going to work out.
Right.
Oh,
right.
God.
Right.
Don't scare us.
Yeah. Every team that Rudy Gay leaves does better. So,
Mayor, during the summer scared every Heat fan alive.
Yes.
Well, you know, he obviously had the Achilles, and he might not opt out. I mean, he's due $15 million next season.
Yeah,
he hasn't said if he's opting out, but I do know he likes Miami.
Who doesn't?
So that certainly can't be discounted if he does opt out. I think you can discount likely Gallinari. I don't see the Heat, you know, having the space to afford him. Especially, obviously, if they keep Johnson and Waiters, they most certainly wouldn't have the space for him.
Barry,
go,
Harrison, go.
Barry, did you feel like Riley's end of year press conference when he said he regretted saying things about the Whales?
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, and do you think it's basically like the Heat are not going to be big players in free agency with the new CBA. They're probably going to try to trade for guys if they come available and the offer seems to be there. It seems like the free agency is going to be tough with the prices and the interests of these guys around the league.
Yeah, I think so too, especially because you're looking at first-year max salaries that are just so much higher than past years. You know, look at Gordon Hayward. His first-year max would be 31. And giving him that would make it impossible to keep either Johnson or Waiters unless you just trim other players, you know, be it Winslow or several others to give you at least space to sign one of the two. So that's the difficulty with landing one of the few max players in this free agent class.
Barry, in Wright Thompson's Riley piece, did the, I don't want to say caricature of Riley, but the, how he was presented, did that surprise you? Like, he came off to me as very broken in the piece, and I can't say it was shocking, but it was surprising.
I don't think he came off as broken, at least from my perception. I just think he came off as, you know, a multi-layered, nuanced person, which we all know him to be. You know, he's a fascinating, compelling figure, and I think certainly there are emotional ties to Malibu, to California, that pull at him, you know, during certain moments. But all we can judge him on is, A, the track record, which has been largely impeccable, and B, the fact that even though he does have California and the Pacific Ocean pulling at him, emotionally, he is stuck by Mickey Arison. He's continued in this job, and he hasn't done what Phil Jackson has done, which is trying to do the job from 3,000 miles away. So you have to credit Riley for continuing on in Miami as his base.
He is,
you know,
the
not succumbing. Right, and not succumbing to any desire to go back to California just yet.
Barry, we've done a very serious interview. We are not the serious podcast. Do you have anything funny from practice? Any funny stories from players? Can you make us laugh? Make our audience laugh with some levity? It's been very sportsy.
Let's see. Well, one of the more amusing stories of the past year was there was an animated discussion in the Heat locker room about what is linguine. Josh Richardson was not sure what linguine was.
Oh, no.
Wife, but how can you not know? It's hot. So that was one of the more amusing moments.
Hassan was telling him what linguine was?
Yes.
Of all
and
people.
Josh is a bright kid. You know, he just hasn't been exposed to linguine in Knoxville. So
that
was one of the more amusing moments. But guys, it should be an interesting offseason. I think, you know, we all now know that the priority is keeping Waiters and Johnson, but at the same time, Riley's open to trades. I don't think they have enough to get Paul George. I think even if they did, it would be a risk because from all indications, Paul George is enamored with the Lakers. I don't think they have enough pieces to get Jimmy Butler, even if the Bulls made him available. And I do not see that he's pursuing Carmelo. So
really?
It's going to be difficult. I do not. It's going to be difficult to upgrade the roster significantly. But if you hit on 14, right, if you land at 14 in the draft, if Winslow becomes a player that they think he can, then maybe he can take a jump, you know, into the fourth seed range, you know, because I think the way they played in the second half, clearly this should be a playoff team, even if you added nobody next year.
Yeah.
You know, but the question is, can you become a second round caliber team?
And I know you got to go, Barry. So on your way out, do you think Miami's going to have a chance at Gordon Hayward?
I'm not even sure that's something that they're ultimately going to pursue heavily if it means $31 million max salary. I'm sure there'll be a meeting. But to me, it's difficult to envision the Heat giving him that contract, knowing that it would leave no money for Johnson and Waiters. We'll see how it plays out. But my first instinct is he's not going to.
So they valued Johnson and Waiters that much that they would pass up on a guy who could potentially be a superstar.
Well, do you see any indication that Gordon Hayward's a superstar?
I think he's one of the most versatile threes/fours in the league, and I do think he's the kind of player that Spoelstra likes who can play small ball four and play at the three. He's an elite defender. He can shoot the ball. He can handle. That's like, to me, that's like Spoelstra's dream, right? Like, that's the kind of guy he wants to use. So I'm very high on him.
Question is he worth $31 million?
I think so, just because of that's going to be the asking price for anybody in his class. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, we will see how it plays out.
Thank you so much, Barry, for joining us.
I enjoyed it.
Really appreciate
it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barry. Guest, Barry Jackson of the Palm Beach Post.
That's Miami Herald.
I know it's the Miami Herald.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you think you found that? No, but the last one was a joke.
Yeah, but it was hard to tell because you just messed up so many times.
I know, but he knows. I think he knows that was a joke because I laughed.
Harrison, it's your job to text him, make sure you know.
Let him know that I'm joking, that we know he's with the Herald. Barry Jackson is an excellent reporter. I think he's our
best reporter in South Florida.
I think right now, right? Ethan had that crown, but Ethan's been out of the game this year. So Barry is now the credible information guy.
But
When he
talked to me on the phone, he was like, "Oh, and this is going to be weird." I'm like, "Heat beat Barry. We've been talking for a while."
He seems, you know what he sounds like? He sounds like your grandfather that gives you like really good advice, was really sweet. He sounds like such a nice man.
Well, he's just plugged in, right? So I think like when you have all that information, like he was ready to do whatever. Like if you wanted to talk Marlins, he was ready. Even though with the Heat beat. He was like, yeah, we can talk about Jeb, we can talk about Jeter and gift baskets and whatever. But, yeah, I saw a good tweet. Someone was like, yo, when Jeter owns a team, you're just going to get gift baskets to get to all the girls over 18.
Jesus Christ.
Hey.
Jeter.
I'm not happy with Jeter. I don't want Jeter and Jeb to own the team. Get them away. I mean, I guess better than Lori.
Honestly, like, if it happens, it'll be good because Jeb will run more the financial stuff, and he could – I mean, they could really develop around that area, which is what they need. There's nothing around the stadium, you know?
There's Bull Bar, and they better not touch my precious Bull Bar.
I'm sure Bull Bar's gone.
No!
I will protest.
I will chain myself to Bull Bar, like how you know, when you're trying to defend the trees, they'll tie me to Bull Bar in front of the bulldozer, and I will not move.
Don't tread on me.
The demolition crew moves. Because I will defend Bull Bar to my last breath. My beloved Bull Bar. We should do a watch party there. And they don't have TVs in there, so we need to bring like little monitors.
Live at the demolition?
No. Just like a watch party at Bull Bar. If you haven't been to Bull Bar, I suggest you go. It's by Marlins Park. Go after a Marlins game. Go before a Marlins game. Go whenever.
And then ready up. Then write a Yelp review after.
Just read Yelp. Read the Yelp reviews because they're very funny. Yelp, yeah, Bull Bar. How do we get into Bull Bar? Marlins Park, yeah. If you go, what's up, Harrison?
No, I don't even know if it's podcast worthy, but I don't know.
It's probably not.
I Did I tell you guys last night that I had dinner with James and friends and I ruined his surprise for his girlfriend this weekend? Just
wait,
terrible.
What? What? You ruined someone's surprise?
I had dinner with James and James Profeto and some friends last night, and I didn't know that it was a surprise that he was doing a Broadway show with his girlfriend, so I totally ruined it last night.
Harrison!
I know.
You ruined someone's surprise gift.
Can you believe that? I felt like such a jerk.
Jesus.
You mean expensive tickets to what's
it called? Yeah.
Hamilton.
Yeah,
I was going to say your name.
Hey, okay. Guys, listen. I don't often recommend movies. In fact, I've never recommended a movie on this podcast. I do recommend the 2016 smash hit Your Name, directed by Mr. Makoto Shinkai. Now, it is an anime movie. Let's move on from that for a second. It was on the short list for Oscar nominations, and it would have been nominated if the Oscars weren't a... You hung up on me on my own show? You little punk-ass mouth. Yeah, so for the audience that doesn't know, I'm talking about Your Name, and all of a sudden, I get dropped from the call. And I'm thinking, this little jackass Brian just hung up on me. And then he has to call me back. He's like, yeah.
Yo, the best part was Brian's face. Like, he knew he had done well. Yeah, he was just sitting there all, happy that he had dropped the call.
Brian, that was your strikeout to end your perfect game.
No, it just extended it.
I mean, probably...
we didn't score any runs for him, so we're going into the extra innings.
We have 4 minutes.
I just
left.
Stole a home run. No, I jumped up the wall and I stole a home run. So we still got this perfect game going.
Okay, we have this perfect game going. So Westbrook, right now, I'm watching the Thunder game, and Westbrook is doing the Israel Gutierrez. Has the ball at the top of the key, not allowing anyone else to get near him, and then chucks up a bad three and misses.
But you guys know, like, I realize I'm in the minority here, but Billy Donovan is a horrible basketball coach, and the fact that he has not, like, reined in Westbrook at all and tried to, like, you know, have that team pass the ball more is a big reason why they stink when Westbrook goes
close,
to the bench.
Man. They've been close in these games, like.
Okay, because Westbrook's talent is there, but, like, when he sits and what were they? They were, like, up by 14. He went to the bench and they got outscored by 18.
But hold on, that's not all his fault. Like, he's not a defensive stopper. You know what I mean?
No. But what I'm saying is, listen, basketball is obviously a team game. So. And guys need rest. So when the best player goes to the bench, your team shouldn't fall apart. Like, you should have and they have talent. I mean, it's hard to argue that a team with Oladipo and Adams and Gibson.
Don't
is, like,
say Gibson,
not,
dude.
Is Taj Gibson not good?
No, it's Taj Gibson. Who cares? He's just a guy. There's a million Taj Gibsons in the NBA. Everybody has a Taj Gibson.
No, I don't agree with that.
Everyone has a Taj Gibson.
You guys really struggled when Russell went to the bench. You were out there for part of that. What goes on when he goes to the bench? Why is Houston so successful? And do you sense that they sort of get an energy boost just from him going out of the game?
Hold on, Steven. I don't want nobody to try to split us up. We all one team. Regardless, if I go to the bench, if Steven's on the floor, if I'm off the floor, we in this together. Don't split us up. Don't try to split us up. Don't try to make us go against each other. Try to make against Russell and the rest of the guys. Russell against Houston. I don't want to hear that. We in this together. We playing as a team, and that's all that matters. That's it.
Yeah, Russell. I'm not trying to split you up, but twice in three games, you guys have not played well at all when you've gone to the bench.
That's fine.
I'm just trying to figure out what's going on.
Say Russell, you ain't played well at all. Say Russell, the team haven't played well. Don't say when Russell goes out, the team don't play well. It don't matter. We in this together.
That may be, Russell, but I asked Steven a question. It's a legitimate
question. You. Next question.
It's a legitimate question.
Next question.
Yeah, Harrison.
Do you think it's hard to take that guy seriously with his accent, right? I feel like Russell was going to cut him off whatever he said.
I wanted to make so many jokes, but I didn't want to be mean.
No, but I mean,
he barbecue sauce.
Yes. Yo, I was just going to say he sounded like JR from wrestling who has his own barbecue sauce.
He totally has his own barbecue. He's
just like,
he's the spokesperson for Masterpiece.
Next question.
Yeah, he's just like, Russell, why not
shoot for Steven? And it wasn't answered. And I don't understand if Steven wants to say he still hasn't said anything. If he wants to say I don't want to answer that, fine. Yeah.
But, I mean, Russ, it's fine. Russ, it's fine if you don't like my barbecue sauce, but Steven liked my barbecue sauce, and I want to know why you don't like my barbecue sauce. That's my best attempt.
That was really good. I was just like, whoa, Harrison, that was nice.
I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Where'd you summon that from?
I have a couple accents I can do, but that's it.
What else you got?
It's not going to be that exciting.
Okay, then. I was going to say, is it offensive?
No, I do a good Scooby-Doo. I mean, it's
okay,
just like...
You're right. Is that the only accent that we can do that is okay? Like, is that... Like, we can only caricature that kind of accent without it being racist, right?
Well, it's hard to, like... If you're doing a Southern person, you're usually talking about a white guy, so that's hard to be offensive.
Yeah.
That's the only thing we can make fun of, right? Probably, yeah.
Like, even though I'm Hispanic, I feel like it's not right if I do a caricature of a Hispanic accent. Yeah, that's probably bad.
Yeah, right? like a Papi Chulo or something like that.
I make fun of the way my dad speaks, but he's my dad.
But he's your father. Yeah, yeah. That's different.
Yeah, No,
the problem is the Southern accent can be nice, but it's just he sounded like. Come on, Russ, like, just tell us what we want to hear.
Are those the voices that you hear during your clan meetings?
Hey, hey, it's Flo. And you know what word I've never understood? Top hat. Aren't all hats on top? They're like the toppest part of every outfit. Unless I've been doing it wrong. That's why I stick with simple words like flotection. It means the sense of security you'll feel when your new home is protected by home insurance through me and Progressive. Also, there shouldn't be a top hat unless there's a bottom hat. Wait, is that what underwear is?
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.